listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? We are live with another Wednesday edition of Underground Sports Philadelphia, bringing you some Eagles off-season news and notes. Phillies right around the corner. They'll be here on Friday playing against the University of Tampa. So the Phillies are back. I'm Kyle Bennett.
I'm Dominic Bonteri. It's great to be back.
It's great to be back, and it's great to be a Philadelphia sports fan.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It's wonderful, and it's also great to be a fan of Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Absolutely, because if you guys haven't seen the news, yesterday at around 6:45 p.m., we confirmed that we are going to have our first guest on the show, yes. Vineland High School graduate of class of 2014, Vineland native, University of Maine offensive lineman, Jameel Denby will be joining the show Sunday for a special edition show of Underground Sports Philadelphia, Sunday, March 11th.
Yes, yes, yes.
Show will be starting at around 3:15, 3:30. Jameel will be calling in around 4. It'll be about 6 days of him being removed from the NFL scouting combine, so he's going to be talking to us about his experience at the combine. You know,
it's so cool, dude. It's amazing
it's
to see somebody.
For the city. It's yeah. Awesome for us that he's coming on to talk with us. So to have Jameel joining us, we're extremely thankful, and we're trying to make this not just a one-time thing. We want him to be, you know, a friend of the show no matter where he ends up, just because he is local, and that is one of our aspects of Underground Sports Philadelphia, is incorporating, you know, the local athletes, the local sports scene with high school, anybody from Vineland, Millville, all across, you know, South Jersey. We want to get you a part of the show. So once again, if you missed it, Jameel Denby will be joining Underground Sports Philadelphia on Sunday, March 11th, for an exclusive interview.
Make sure you tune into that, please.
Absolutely.
Make sure you tune into that.
Because he's going to be talking about everything he experienced at the Combine, you know, the draft process, and then some news came out today that his offensive coordinator from the University of Maine has signed on with Matt Patricia in Detroit to become an assistant coach with the Lions. So that's a team to be looking out for. I'm sure we'll be asking him about that as well.
Cool.
And some places he'd like to end up if possible. So
we're just going to talk some sports with him too.
Yeah, we're going to talk Eagles because he is a big Eagles fan. So we're going to be talking Eagles with him as much as we can, where it's not, you know, violating
rules and all that kind of stuff. We should talk about other sports.
we'll be talking with Jameel Sunday, March 11th. So do not miss that show.
Make sure you tune into that.
Let's get into why we're here today. On Wednesday, February 21st, because
we got some interesting stuff to talk about.
We got some fun Eagles news. We got some fun Phillies news. Let's get started.
All right. Eagles made a couple coaching changes, some new people appointed. First off, Mike Groh is the new offensive coordinator. Went from the wide receivers coach to the offensive coordinator. How do you feel about that?
It was going to be between him or Deuce Staley, so either one I was going to be happy with. With Mike being, you know, promoted to the offensive coordinator, it leaves Deuce as the running backs coach, but he also got a promotion where he is now the assistant coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So
wonderful.
Deuce gets a promotion, so does Mike Groh. They both deserved it. You saw what the wide receivers and running backs did this year. So to see Doug kind of reward both of them, where they were both being considered for the position and then one gets it, and then one gets a promotion. I think it's great. Mike Groh knows what he's doing because you saw the transformation from when we had Greg Lewis as the wide receivers coach to now Mike Groh and the growth of guys like Nelson Agholor. You have Alshon Jeffrey, who we'll get into a little news with him a little bit later. Torrey Smith, granted he had the drops, but playoffs he came up huge.
Yes.
And you had, you know, rookie years for Mac Hollins, Sheldon Gibson. Uh-huh. And then with Mike Groh getting promoted, that's also a nice little tidbit of information to throw at free agents if somebody wants to come in and, you know, be a replacement for Torrey Smith, be a replacement you know, just to come in join the Eagles, be part of a Super Bowl, you know, dynasty that they're trying to make. I think having a wide receiver coach and a running back coach as, you know, your assistant coach of your team and your offensive coordinator, it's just going to pay dividends.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I'm a fan of keeping – if you have something successful going on in your organization, keep it going until it stops. And, you know, giving promotions to coaches who did a very good job in the, you know, Super Bowl effort.
Absolutely.
You know, in the whole season is good. You know, it's sad to see some of them leave. Obviously, teams are going to pounce on anybody who wants to, you know, have a better position with another team. I can't, you know, deny that. But, you know, for the most part, you know, being able to keep the same coaching staff, even if it is a different role, I'm a fan of. You know, I hate getting rid of people, this and that, getting rid of players, you know, unless you need to. So, you know, I think it's good. I'm not really well versed on the coaches as I am with players and stuff like that. So, I'm okay with it. We can only, you know, judge once they start playing again.
Absolutely.
And that's really it. Moving on, we have that Jalen Watkins will not be tendered.
Yeah, according to sources with Bleeding Green Nation, as I saw it from Brandon Lee Galton, the Eagles will not be placing a restricted free agent tender on safety cornerback Jalen Watkins. The reports were that it was going to be an original round tender, which would have been a fourth round pick, which means, for anybody that doesn't know how restricted free agency works, if a player is a restricted free agent, the team that he is on that season has the bargaining rights with them to sign a new contract. But a team can come in, put in an offer sheet for a contract, and if there is a tender on that player, if, say, in this situation, if Jalen Watkins were to have been given a tender, that team that gives the offer sheet and signs him gives up that draft pick to the Eagles. So while a fourth-round pick would have been nice for the Eagles, they already have, I think, two still following that Jay Ajayi trade. But with Jalen Watkins, he is a player that could be brought back. I don't see why the Eagles wouldn't want to bring him back. But he will not be getting the restricted free agent tender, so he's just a flat-out free agent now who he can go sign wherever he wants. My prediction, though, is the Eagles will end up bringing him back. He's too versatile of a player. He's a nice depth piece behind the young corners, behind Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod if they were to go down. And the safety position for the Eagles is not solidified by any means because you have Malcolm, but they're going to have to restructure that contract, in my opinion, because you're not going to pay Malcolm $10 million a year for a season. So, and you got to clear up cap space. So that, I think, would be priority number one, where Malcolm would be fine restructuring because I know he wants to be here. But you're going to have to restructure that deal. Rodney McLeod, obviously, is your other safety. But behind that, the only safety on the roster right now is Chris Maragos, I think.
Yes.
And he's recovering from an ACL injury. So, and Corey Graham's a free agent. He could be brought back, but he'll be 33 at the beginning of next season. Although some people do think he'll be back from what I'm hearing, listening to, you know, guys on 94WIP, looking at some articles, some people think that he could be brought back as like a veteran's minimum type contract. But I think Jalen Watkins' best bet would he'll be back, but he will not be getting that fourth round restricted free agent tender from the Eagles. So anybody could sign him. But like I said, he should be back with the Eagles, in my opinion.
No. Somebody who is coming back with the Eagles, Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, yes.
And something that came out today was that Alshon Jeffrey got surgery on his shoulder. He had a torn rotator cuff, which he played with all season.
As soon as I saw Alshon Jeffrey and surgery, my heart stopped because I was like, what the hell happened where he's going under the knife? And then I go and read and he, since the preseason, has suffered from a torn rotator cuff and played through it all year and played from, you think this injury happened probably in August during a preseason game.
Yeah.
All the way through to early February.
What I think, when I saw the news, I mean, I didn't know what to think at first. And then, you know, it kind of, you know, the information settled in my brain. And I said, he really played with a torn rotator cuff all season long, including the playoffs. I mean, that hurts. Like, yeah. Like really, I had a teammate when I played lacrosse in high school have that same injury happen in a game, and I saw him run off the field with it, and how, like, I saw what he had to go through. And for me to read that our number one played the entire season and playoffs with that injury is absolutely ridiculous, especially, you know, seeing the pictures of his touchdown catch in the Super Bowl. To be able to do that, that's ridiculous. And
not even just in the Super Bowl, all season.
All season, making catches all year.
Reaching out with his arms fully extended.
Especially as being the number one, you're expected to make those kind of catches.
And, of course, the number one catch you're thinking about is that touchdown in the end zone during the Super Bowl when he pretty much sunned Eric Rowe. Yeah. And he just reaches out and boom.
Or as a lot of people say, he mossed him.
Yeah.
But I want to bring up this tweet now from @SportsOurPhilly that I saw because they quoted Ian Rappaport's tweet about this. They said, the Eagles won a Super Bowl in the season where our MVP quarterback tore his ACL. Yes, MVP is my MVP. Our Hall of Fame left tackle tore his ACL. Star linebacker tore his Achilles. Our dual threat running back tore his ACL.
And broke his wrist.
We had another person tear his ACL.
That's Chris Maragos tore his ACL.
And
Sidney Jones played one game.
Yeah, played one game. And now Alshon played an entire season with a torn rotator cuff.
And we won the Super Bowl.
Yes, the Philadelphia Eagles still won the Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. And I saw another one. I want to give a shout-out to @TeamStradley. He said if Alshon was in – Chicago, he wouldn't have played with a pulled eyelash. I think that's hilarious, and I think it's very true. Being in the situation he was in Chicago, them being on the decline and really not having a solid quarterback for so long that can get him the ball, I wouldn't blame him for not wanting to play if he had like some sort of minor injury. Yeah. Go and cry it off and all that other stuff, but you know, being around the team atmosphere that you had in Philadelphia, that he had with his teammates there and being successful, of course you're going to try to, you know, put your body on the line as much as possible. And if it, I guess it didn't bother him that much, but you know, to need surgery, he must have been hurting late in the season. I think that, you know, if he was able to play with it, it must have been minor, and being able to, he probably heard it as he continued to play and doing what he needed to do every day in practice and in games. But I'm still, I don't want to say speechless, but I'm in awe.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And that speaks volumes about the culture that the Eagles have where he wanted to play through that.
Yeah.
You don't just choose to play through a torn rotator cuff unless you feel like,
not at all.
One, you can manage the pain, and two, you're working towards something special, and obviously the Eagles work to something special. And
thank God too, because I mean, he was a vital part to
absolutely
some of our success. And I think that if he went down, we wouldn't have had the same. I mean, I don't want to say we wouldn't have had the same season, but it would have been a lot tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Wentz wouldn't have had, you know, a deep threat to go to every now and then, even though he could make anybody catch any ball because he gives it to him on a silver platter.
Exactly.
But it would have been tough. And I mean, as Eagles fans, we probably would have become very negative very quickly, you know, depending on when he had that injury happen. I'm not sure if you could tell me. He said, oh yeah, he suffered in training camp.
Oh.
So, yeah, he played the whole season through it, which is weird because, like, coming into the season, if we would have had the news Alshon Jeffrey's hurt from training camp, we would have been –
season's over. Oh, my God.
The city would have flipped over, dude.
It would have been
– it was bad.
Philly as usual.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been like, oh, I'm not surprised, actually. Like, this always happens to us.
Exactly.
But
and then we would have obviously hit everyone with the excuse, oh, you know, our star players were out, and Carson's hurt and all that. But, hey, we did it without him. We overcame the adversity.
We flipped the script, and now Patriots fans are picking apart the Super Bowl still, trying to tell us that something wasn't a catch or this was out and this is illegal.
And now apparently the Redskins are interested in Malcolm Butler. So, who knows?
I mean, we need some.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm, you want to come get some revenge?
I was thinking about that the other day when they were talking. I was like, I flipped on ESPN, and they were talking about Butler, and I said, they're still talking about this, man. They're still talking about this.
And the thing is like, they're not even talking about, oh, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That lasted for maybe a day.
Yeah.
The whole story,
Malcolm Butler,
17 days later, oh, Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl, and they knew before the game happened. They knew all week it was going to
happen. What could have been if he played?
Bill Belichick cost them the Super Bowl by not playing Malcolm Butler. No, he didn't. Okay, because even if Malcolm Butler did play, the outcome would have been the same. Sure, he could have helped a little bit.
Doesn't matter.
I'm sure he could have made a play here or there where, you know, somebody would have got less yards on a reception. Stop.
My boy BDN would have still thrown for that many yards.
Absolutely.
So, we're getting towards the end of our Eagles talk, but we need to let's bring up free agent draft targets again.
Yeah,
I do want to say my take about bringing in Jarvis Landry and just fleecing Miami for everything is not going to happen.
Pour one out for that one because that one's gone.
I feel sorry for Jarvis, in my opinion.
Free Jarvis Landry.
Yes, because why? Why would Miami do something like that?
First day of franchise tags coming through. The Dolphins place the franchise tag on Jarvis Landry, and they're going to pay him $16 million for 1 year. He's not even a number one receiver. And I like Jarvis Landry. I could go as far as I say I love Jarvis Landry.
The only team in Florida that makes proper personnel decisions when it comes to their team is the Miami Heat.
Or the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about hockey, but you're right. And this is just – it's somebody who doesn't want to be there.
Nope.
Somebody who has been said to be a locker room problem, Jay Ajayi. But they put the franchise tag on him.
I view it the same way that the Bears did with Alshon.
Yeah.
I don't think Alshon wanted to be in Chicago, and that's obviously why he left after last season. But they put the franchise tag on. And then I'm seeing Ian Rapoport and Mike Garofolo today on NFL Network saying – there's a possibility that they sign him to the franchise tag, but then they go around and trade him.
Are you talking about Jarvis?
Yes.
I was just going to bring that up. Like, the only way I can see this is they put something in his contract regarding a trade or like a buyout or something like that, and they're signing him to this so they can maybe get something out of him. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't, he's not a free agent, is he? Or
he was going to be a free agent this year. Yeah. They franchise tagged him. So then
it has to be. It has to be for a trade then. It has to be. Because there's no reason that
they don't even have a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler's a free agent. Ryan Tannehill is an unknown. They're probably going to be in the Lamar Jackson running.
You don't bring back Jay Cutler.
No.
He shouldn't be in the league. I'm sorry. The fact that the Miami Dolphins gave him a chance is just laughable.
I mean, I understand why they did it because they thought they could compete, but Adam Gase has no clue what he's doing down there. They had their freaking offensive line coach snorting coke off of a desk midseason.
Jay Cutler's a prima donna. Like he smoked.
Talk about locker room cancer.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was smoking a cigarette on the sidelines because he's so stressed out.
Talk about
how
a locker room
team
cancer is Jay Cutler. Everywhere he goes, the team just struggles.
Nope, I threw my fourth interception of the game. Let me get my pack of Newports.
So it's I don't know what they're doing in Miami. They have receivers down there that they've come out and flat out said they like more than Jarvis Landry, including, you know, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills. That's the thing, too. They signed Kenny Stills, who is similar to Jarvis Landry in play style last year, to this huge four-year deal. And now you're going to bring back Jarvis Landry, who's going to take, you know, snaps from him. I don't get it. It makes
smart
no
Miami
sense.
Smart.
And I also saw the last time a wide receiver was franchise tagged and then traded in the same season was 2003 by a man of the name Peerless Price.
Who?
Exactly. The only reason I remember Peerless Price is one, He was on my dad's fantasy team when he started doing fantasy football at his now 16-something-year-long job. Two, I played with him on Madden 04.
He's got one hell of a name, too. I mean,
Peerless.
Oh, my God.
Peerless and Jarvis.
Miami, at least you're not the Marlins. At least you didn't just make that kind of decision.
And if you're this far into the show, in the comment section, drop a hashtag free Jarvis.
Hashtag free Jarvis, please.
But some other free agent notes. Apparently the Steelers are looking to franchise tag their star running back Le'Veon Bell.
I'm not surprised.
Which I would view that as they'll franchise tag him so that they have the rights to go and get him on a long-term deal, because he even came out and said they're closer to a long-term deal than they were last year. So,
did you read Mikey's article that he wrote?
I did.
Yeah. So our friend, our good friend, shout out Mikey Ostrowski. What's the website he writes for?
The Loaded Box Podcast.
Loaded Box Podcast. He wrote an article about the running backs that will get paid. Absolutely. Running backs that will get paid. And he brought up Le'Veon Bell, and he said, I mean, it's no surprise to most NFL fans. If you watch the league even a little bit, you will know that the Steelers would not be stupid enough to give him up. And he's the face of the franchise. I mean, a lot of people may say Antonio Brown, but no, he is the face of the franchise, and he is their best player. You need to franchise tag him. You need to get rid of him because a team will swoop him up. And I wouldn't have been surprised, you know, with some of the running back problems, especially with Blount leaving, that the Eagles would try to be one of those people to bring him in, especially winning the Super Bowl and saying, hey, if you join us, we have a chance to repeat. And, I mean, we do have a good chance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a smart move by the Steelers.
And that's another thing, because I saw LeGarrette Blount was on NFL Network this past weekend.
Like,
and, John Barcher tweeted a hat of the Philly special play. It's pretty dope. I think Max on Twitter actually designed that. So
that's cool.
Shout out to them. But yeah, LeGarrette Blount was on NFL Network this weekend, and they were talking to him, you know, do you hope to be back? You know, they were just basically talking about his time with the Eagles and everything, and he said that there's a mutual respect. You know, they both would love to have each other back, but, you know, it's still early in the process of free agency, so they want to see what plays out. It sounded like he wants to be back. And then they brought Corey Clement out, and they're really close.
I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, as you get older and you have your family and you start making decisions, not just based off of what you want, but, you know, what's best for your family. And Ryan Jones said that too. I saw his tweet, and he did nothing but thank him. And I would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You know, he played well. He did everything he could for the team. He scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl that helped us.
Ran for almost 100 yards.
Yeah, like, talk with his family, figure out what's best, and make that decision when the time comes.
And with Blount, I'm sure he doesn't want to be on a third team in 3 years.
No.
So if he is able to come back, on, like we said last week, we're both on page with bringing him back.
Yeah. He's still sure that he can play.
Everybody's saying, from what Corey Clement was saying too, he viewed LeGarrette as a mentor, and that's why he played the way he did this year. You know,
which would be perfect, because even if Clement starts seeing more time than Blount, it's a nice veteran presence and a mentor for him. You know, being surrounded by those two types of running backs, Jay and LeGarrette, I mean, he can only get better. And he can learn so much from both of those guys that, you know, bringing him back would be a great, you know, just personnel choice. But, like I said, it doesn't matter. You know, come back if you want to come back. If not, we respect it because you helped us win a Super Bowl, and I have nothing but respect for our running backs.
I mean, if LeGarrette's back, I'm all about it. And who knows what happens. And apparently Frank Gore is not going to be brought back with the Colts, so we can bring back an Eagles legend if we wanted to. An Eagles legend of 3 days. But another news with the Colts, because, you know, Frank Reich went to the Colts. He's possibly getting his quarterback. Andrew Luck threw passes for the first time today since his surgery. I just saw something, an interview with NFL good. Total Access. He's throwing weighted balls, and he's full speed ahead and should be on schedule for the 2018 season. And Now they're saying it's just parts around his shoulder that are, you know, iffy, and it's not like the actual core part of his shoulder. So it's good for the league to have Andrew Luck back. And for Frank Reich, obviously, possibly going to a new situation.
As long as he's still kind of good.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with him. And it's so crazy with that quarterback class. They could do a whole 30 for 30 on them, because that was Luck, RG3, Tannehill, Brandon Whedon. That whole quarterback class, each of them have their own little weird saga. And we'll see what happens with Andrew Luck. I hope he's back in the league, because he makes the league better. And, you know, hopefully he doesn't do too much against the Eagles this year when we play them. But, you know, overall for the league, if Andrew Luck's back next year, it's only going to be a positive, and it's a positive also for fantasy football owners, because that's another big-name quarterback back on the market.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of going through. Oh, look at this. Well, this is 3 hours ago. Broncos and QB Trevor Siemian headed for a parting of ways, likely via trade. Okay.
Yeah, not
the biggest splash.
He's a good, solid backup just based off of, you know, the amount of starts he's had in his career. I don't see him starting anywhere unless a team's absolutely desperate for a quarterback. But, I mean, I've heard that they could get a 6th-round pick, which would be a boost from where they drafted him, because he was a 7th-round pick. So to get something higher than what you draft him for, that's great. Trevor Siemian.
Vinatieri, about to go back to the Colts.
Yeah, he's going to play. Something crazy I saw with Vinatieri. He has now outlasted his time in New England with the Colts. He played 10 years with the Patriots. He's going into, I believe, what will be his 12th season or 13th season with Indianapolis if he plays next year, which it looks like he will be.
A kicker's life in the NFL is so long.
He's 45 years old.
That's ridiculous.
Like, I remember Vinatieri in that Raiders game in the snow.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
And I remember him in the Super Bowl with Peyton. And
he's one of the most decorated kickers, I think, in
the NFL.
He's
a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been on everybody's radar for so long. Yeah. It's laughable to even think that somebody wouldn't, you know, think about him.
He's one of the best overall players to have played in the league, and I think the Colts bringing him back only makes them better. It makes Frank Reich's life easier to have a veteran guy.
That's what's up.
And it'll just be, you know, full steam ahead for the Colts in their rebuild, and hopefully getting back to the top for them. Another AFC South little tidbit is the Jaguars are unlikely to re-sign Aaron Colvin, who could be a name the Eagles look at. He was their third corner behind A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey. He's a quality corner. It could be somebody that the Eagles could bring in as, you know, a little bit more pricey than a depth piece, but he's 26. He's shown that he can start. So if the Eagles want to make that cornerback room even deeper than it already is, I'm all about it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
And, I mean, I'm still on the Allen Robinson hype train, too, when it comes to the Eagles bringing him in from the Jags. So, if that can happen, Howie, pull the trigger. But, yeah, that looks like to be
there's not much news in the NFL. There's not much else going on in the NFL.
Yeah, and, I mean, more news will pick up once the league year starts getting closer.
Yeah, it's getting to the dead time of NFL news.
Yeah, and I mean, mock drafts are starting to come out, so we'll also probably do a little bit of
our mock drafts. It's a little early for that right now.
I mean, they have nothing better to do.
Exactly.
So we'll probably get into our own mock drafts when it gets closer for the show and everything.
We're not going to bother you with that.
We're not going to bother you with that. We probably have another solid 2 months before we start doing that. We got
Phillies to focus on.
But we have a ton of Phillies and baseball news to focus on, because Philly spring training games start Friday.
Yep, and they got a nice little pump-up speech from Jason Kelce.
Yes, they did.
He decided to visit them down in Clearwater, and I can only imagine what he said. I can only imagine.
In his interview after with all the Phillies writers and everything and the news and media and everything, he said that he thinks he cursed more talking to the Phillies than he did on the steps of the Art Museum.
And just like I said, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine how he got them pumped up for the season.
He said he wanted to keep it, you know, mellow and toned down a bit, but once he started going, he was like, I just went in and...
Well, that's kind of what he did at the Super Bowl parade. All right, I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. Yeah. And
Jason Peters was the best friggin' tackle in the league, and then, you know, we're from Philly, bleepin' Philly. So, yeah, that was cool to see Gabe bring them in. He brought the Philadelphia Union in.
Yeah.
To, you know, be with the team and spend some time with them. I think Gabe Kapler just gets it. You know, that's my little note here. Like, I think he is going to be a good manager.
Every time I've heard him talk, I've never been put off by anything he says. I think he has a good head on his shoulders, and he knows. He's from the Dodgers, too. Mm-hmm. He was in the Dodgers. So he knows what it takes to win.
And he's a 13-year MLB veteran.
Exactly. So he knows what it takes to win, and he's going to make sure that this young team is ready for that. And I think that he'll prepare them just fine. And I mean, with this Philly magic that's been going on, I mean, a Philadelphia sports team since the Eagles won the Super Bowl has not lost in regulation. The Flyers did lose in a shootout. However,
it's not a regulation loss.
It happened against the Devils, but I mean, it's all right.
We're still 3 points out of first place.
Yes, but we'll talk more about that on Saturday.
But also, too, you know, since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the Phillies are undefeated.
Yes, and we're going to keep it that way.
We're going to keep it that way.
No, but it's just that you know.
There's a new culture.
There's a new culture. There's a new aura just around Philadelphia sports. You know, before, like, now the fans are believing, oh, we can really win. We can do this, you know. And obviously you're not a real Philly fan if you don't believe that in the first place. Yeah. But if you're a Negadelphian, I'm going to bring that out again, it a lot less of them are starting to appear now. I see a lot less, you know, complaining about the teams, and I see a lot more, you know, support, even for the sports that people really don't watch as much.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing a lot more support for the Flyers, especially now that they're doing absolutely so well. And I'm seeing, well, the support for the Sixers bandwagon has been going on since the beginning of the season. But I mean, especially,
I mean, if you're a true Sixers fan, it's been going on since you became a fan,
since the process started. Yeah. But now it can only, you know, snowball with the Phillies, and you know, especially if some of these rumors are true, and
yeah,
they
some
pull
of the
off
rumors that I've been hearing, and
the team get some veteran presence in there, and let's do it.
It is savory. It is sweet.
So let's move into that.
Jake Arrieta.
Let's move into that.
For those of you who aren't, you know, too privy to baseball, Jake Arrieta, former Chicago Cub, won a World Series with them in 2016. He's been the ace of their staff for 3 years. He knows how to win. The front office of the Phillies drafted Jake when he was in Baltimore. So there's a, you know, a familiar face there for him to go to. The only thing that's really holding this back from being done right now is Arrieta wants 5 years on a contract. I'm not a fan of that. The Phillies are willing to give him 3. My thought process thinks they'll meet in the middle at like 3 and a club option to really solidify that 4th year.
Or just pay more money for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna front load everything and really give the money up front.
Make it real lucrative for him.
Yeah.
You know, I want 5 years, but no, we're going to take 2 years off, but we're going to pay you more money.
Joe Giglio from WIP and NJ.com, he tweeted, you know, give Jake Arrieta a 3-year, $85, $90, $100 million deal because he wants the money. The Phillies don't want to give the years because Arrieta will be 32 at the start of the season. We've been down the road of paying free agent pitchers and trading for older pitchers.
I don't want to
paying
keep,
them, and now
definitely
that's why the
don't want to
where they are right now.
Definitely because, don't want to keep a pitcher till he's 37.
Yeah,
I don't want
to have, and he's already lost, you know, 2 miles per hour velocity on all of his pitches.
Well, I mean, if we're looking at his ERA, I mean, his ERA has only gotten worse since his best one of his career in 2015,
where he won the Cy Young, I think.
Yeah.
He was 6th in the MVP voting.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to Philadelphia, it's a hitter-friendly park.
Yes.
So that'll only potentially put stress on his numbers again.
He's got to be on
top
of it.
But on the positive side for Jake Arrieta, he's won in the last 3 years where he's really come on as a premier dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball. 2015, he won 22 games. 2016, he won 18 and obviously won a World Series. And then last year, he won 14 games. He had a bit of an injury-riddled season, so he only won the 14.
14 and 10, I mean, it's not
better than any Phillies pitcher was last year outside of Aaron Nola.
I mean, at this point, with the needs that our pitching staff needs, I'll still take him. I mean, having somebody who is, like you said, a Cy Young Award winner and World Series champ and has that type of experience, it would be greatly appreciated on a team like this, especially with the
all
youth.
The young pitchers
exactly.
that are on this team. You don't really know who's going to be in the rotation outside of Nola right now.
Exactly.
Everyone's a question mark besides him. So you bring in a guy like Jake Arrieta, let him be, you know, that veteran presence in the clubhouse, let him kind of groom these young pitchers, let them ask him questions, like develop them to become better starters than they already are. And then the possibility of a trade happening to bring in a third starter, like the caliber of Tampa Bay Rays ace Chris Archer, who Dylan Mazzola is ready to purchase his jersey if he becomes a Philly like that. I'm all aboard trading for Archer. He's a strikeout machine. He would pair perfectly with a trio of himself, Nola, and Arrieta. He's being wasted in Tampa Bay right now on probably one of the most team-friendly contracts in baseball history. He wouldn't really, you know, strap the Phillies when they're ready to go out and, you know, purge the free agent market in 2019, 2020. And then you have, I believe he's 28, so
29.
He'll be 29 start of the season, so a relatively young pitcher still.
Yeah.
He's not in his 30s yet. And pitchers really can go till they're like 33 before you really start seeing that hardcore decline. So to have a guy,
he's still got some very good years left in him. I'm looking at his stats. I mean, he kind of dipped recently. If we're talking ERA, and we brought it up with Jake Arrieta, and you're all in on Chris Archer, kind of his ERA is worse.
Yeah,
but I mean, like you said, he's still young, relatively in the sense of baseball young, and
he's still in the prime of his career.
Exactly,
playing on a bad team, so his stats really aren't going to reflect the type of pitcher he is. Like 2016, you look at his strikeouts. Even the last 3 years, again with Chris Archer, 2015, 252 strikeouts, 233 in 2016, 249 last year. You would think a guy
and his and his record isn't that good, so that's got to say something about the team he's on rather than him as a pitcher.
And this offseason, the Rays have gone and traded pretty much every franchise-esque player. They traded Steven Souza Jr. yesterday, who's another guy that people thought was going to be a core piece of Tampa Bay's future, and then he's gone. And there's really only Chris Archer and Kevin Kiermaier left, who's their Gold Glove All-Star center fielder. But everyone's assuming that, you know, with the way Tampa's blowing things up and getting rid of everybody, including Evan Longoria, who was the face of their franchise for years.
What did I say about Florida teams?
They blow it up.
Yep.
But with Chris Archer, I think he could be next on the trade block for Tampa. And the Phillies have the prospects to move. They have players to move. I tweeted something out the other day with a bunch of players listed. It's like, who says no? And a lot of people told me, you know, Tampa would say no because a higher-end pitching prospect would have to be, you know, included in that deal. But if the Phillies can go and get Archer and Arrieta to pair with Aaron Nola, probably Jared Eichhoff as your number four, and then I'm hoping Thomas Eshelman, a young prospect that they got back in the Cole Hamels trade back in 2015, if they can put him as the number five, he looks really good. I'm excited to watch him in spring training this year. That's a major league rotation.
Yeah.
You have Jared Eichhoff, who's pretty much a solid number four, maybe a number three on another team, if they're desperate for somebody like him. Eshelman, who's your young, let's develop him, let him get some playing time. Aaron Nola's your ace that you have right now. He's the guy that's developed. You know, you drafted him. He's your homegrown talent. And then you bring in the Jake Arrieta free agent signing, Chris Archer, and then you bring those kind of guys in along with bringing in Carlos Santana in free agency, that's like, hey, 2019, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, look who's on our team. Yeah. Come play with us. Let's go win some World Series.
Yeah, it's the building blocks this year to make a move next year to be very competitive.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how we have to look at the Phillies season this year. It's kind of like looking at the Sixers the last couple of years, is where you know what's coming, so you can't be overly critical, especially, and I feel that's going to happen because in Philly right now,
we're on such a high of
exactly winning. With seeing that the Sixers are going to make the playoffs, the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. I mean, there's probably going to be some fans that aren't real fans of baseball, but, you know, they're Philadelphia sports fans, where they're going to be like having such high expectations for the Phillies just based off of what the rest of Philly is doing. So, I mean, you have to look at it subjectively and be like, you know, we have a young team. We brought in some talent that's going to help us, but it's all to bring in somebody the following year. And then in 2019, we come back out and we compete for a World Series, hopefully.
Yeah, and I mean, I like something. I forget if we talked about this last week, but Pat Neshek, who was on the team last year, traded him, got three really nice prospects for him. He said when he left, you know, he wanted to be back, and he came back in free agency. So I have the utmost respect for him to want to come back to a rebuilding team, a team that's not really, you know, in a postseason hunt, at least as far as we know.
This is only speculation, yeah. Obviously. We don't know how they're going
to
play.
And for Pat, being as old as he is, to want to come back to a team like this, I have the utmost respect for him and sticking to his word. He said he wanted to be back with the Phillies if it was possible, and boom, he's back. I'm glad they did it. He's a great locker room presence in that clubhouse. But he said that he sees a lot of comparisons with this Phillies team to the 2015 Astros team he was on. And
that's,
he says
that's
he
great
sees,
company to be compared with.
He sees this Phillies team as, quote, leaps and bounds ahead of that Astros team. How well did that Astros team do that year? Well, they won 86 games and they made the playoffs.
No.
So for a guy to be able to do that and come out and say something like that, I'm all about the Phillies winning 86 games.
I would love
to
see the Phillies win the 86 games.
And, I mean, you think about it, looking at the Phillies schedule, they play the Marlins a bunch of times this year, which should – there should be no reason they lose to the Marlins this year. Maybe one game. The Braves, they'll be somewhat competitive, but they should be able to beat the Braves.
You know what? I want them to kick the Braves' butt.
Absolutely.
Because they have the ugliest mascot in baseball now, and it's a direct ripoff of ours. Yep. And that makes me so angry.
It looks like they left him in a pile of mud in the sun and then just...
He looks like something that was created in a lab, but it was let out too early and it didn't fully develop. Like, it doesn't have color. Like, it's this ugly, like...
beige, tan.
It's weird, and I don't really know what's going on with it.
Plus,
and
the Braves are, like, in that same spot the Phillies are in with the rebuild-type mode. But I think the Phillies are far ahead prospect-wise with them already being called up.
We have the best mascot in baseball.
Absolutely.
I'm stuck on this
mascot. We have the
mascot,
best mascot in sports.
Yeah. Yeah, it's iconic. Iconic.
But with the Phillies,
DJ Khaled,
the Mets, they're all hinging on the health of their rotation. They have one of the best rotations in baseball when they're healthy. But if Noah Syndergaard doesn't come back from his lat injury that he suffered last year, which killed me in fantasy baseball, we'll get into that on another specialty show that we'll be doing soon, too. So stick around, stick for that. You know, if Jacob deGrom doesn't come back healthy, Steven Matz, that's three of their five. Matt Harvey, too. If he doesn't come back from his, you know, mental issues he suffered from last year where he just had no confidence in himself, no confidence in his pitching, and he was injured, that's four of your five guys in a rotation. If they don't come back healthy, the Mets aren't going to do anything.
No.
They have pieces, you know, here and there. They brought Jay Bruce back, which I was surprised. But they don't really have much in terms of young guys. They have Brandon Nimmo, who's a nice young outfielder. They have Michael Conforto. But that's about it. And they really hinge on pitching and defense.
Is what's his name still at third base?
Jose Reyes?
No.
Oh, David Wright?
Yeah.
He's also an injured guy. You know,
he's old now.
Yeah, he's not, you know, 2013, 2012.
And again, the same thing with Jose Reyes. Yeah. I mean, he's older now,
he's
too.
He's older. I still don't know why the Mets brought him back. That's another story. But, you know, the Mets hinge on pitching and defense. That's what they pride themselves on. That's what they have prided themselves on since they went into their rebuild to get these pitchers. But there's no reason the Phillies shouldn't finish second in the NL East this year. And I'm putting that out there because I think it's doable. They should be in contention in September for a wild card spot. I don't know if it'll...
Who's above us? Nationals?
The Nationals will win the division easily. Their team is just so loaded with Bryce Harper, Max Scherzer.
That's all you have to say. Yeah, they're good.
You know, Daniel Murphy.
Yeah,
they still have Ryan Zimmerman, of all people.
They're good.
They're just really loaded from top to bottom. Their only question is their bullpen. So if you get to their starters early, you can beat the Nationals. So
as long as you put up more runs than them, yeah, because they have a strong hitting lineup.
And that's
as
the thing. Like, if you can get to them early, get their starters knocked out of the game soon enough, their bullpen isn't really that strong. So if you can go and attack their bullpen with the hitters we have, there's no reason I don't see the Phillies possibly splitting the season series with the Nationals at best this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's teams all over. The National League West is loaded with talent. You have the Dodgers, who were in the World Series last year. The Colorado Rockies got significantly better pitching-wise. Their bullpen is probably the best bullpen in baseball, in my opinion. You have the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are really, really good. Were a playoff team last year. You have the San Francisco Giants, who improved all around, you know, position-wise, and they still have one of the best pitchers in baseball with Madison Bumgarner. And then the Padres just signed Eric Hosmer from the Kansas City Royals, who won a World Series. He's, you know, all-star first baseman. They just signed him to a huge contract, 8 years, $144 million. So to bring him in, they also brought former Philly Freddie Galvis in via trade. So that division's going to be tough for the Phillies wild card-wise because there's a bunch of teams out west that could be fighting for that position, where last year three teams made the playoffs from the NL West. Mm-hmm. So they'll be fighting with them. The NL Central, you have the Cubs. You have the St. Louis Cardinals, who got Marcell Ozuna from the Marlins in their crazy fire sale. And then the Milwaukee Brewers, who I think could really win that division if they go out and get one of these free agent pitchers, whether hopefully it's not Jake Arrieta and he becomes a Philly, but, you know, Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb. They're also rumored to be in the Chris Archer trade talks. So the Brewers could end up winning. That's three teams from another division that are fighting for a wild card spot. So do I think the Phillies get the wild card? Probably not. Do they have a chance to fight for it in September and make it interesting? Absolutely. I think it's a big possibility.
It just depends on how well we're playing up until then.
Yeah, but, and I think,
I mean, that's obvious.
With the lineup we have right now, they can hit.
Especially, I want to backtrack to something you said about us bringing in Carlos Santana.
Oh, yeah.
Reports have come out, you know, there have been interviews and a lot of articles written recently about him mentoring Mikel Franco.
And thank you, Carlos. Thank you.
That is wonderful because Franco is he could potentially be a great talent.
This is
Phillies.
A make or break year for Mikel Franco. He came on really strong in that 2015 season, 2016, and then he got hurt. Because he got a pitch hit him on the wrist. He got hurt. Comes back. The average was down. The power didn't really come on until, you know, July, August. There were talks that, you know, the Red Sox wanted to trade for him last year. And everyone thought, you know, Franco's the first big building piece of this rebuild. And he could really, you know, become the next Mike Schmidt. There were talks of Mikel Franco becoming the next great third baseman of the Philadelphia Phillies. And we haven't had a good third baseman, in my opinion, since Mike Schmidt, which that's decades.
I'm trying to think of some of the ones we've had.
We had Placido Polanco, Pedro Feliz was our World Series third baseman. We had Michael Young for a little bit, and it's just been...
Shout out my boy Placido.
Absolutely.
I used to love him.
How could you not? He's got one of the best names in sports. But, you know, with Franco, he was in that company of being talked about as the next great Philly because of the power. he played great defense, and then there's reports last year, oh, they might move him to first base because he looks really slow. I thought that was a bunch of bull because he can play third base, and he just needs to get out of his own head.
Yeah.
He needs to focus.
So now you bring in a pretty good veteran and, you know, have him mentor Franco and just, you know,
fellow countrymen. Sure, they're exactly, both from the Dominican Republic.
Make sure he keeps his head on straight and, you know, focuses on what needs to get done. And, you know, doing that does loads for a young player. Loads.
And because there were the reports of Franco going out and partying during the Winter League in the Dominican Republic at 6 a.m. the night before a playoff game. So,
I mean, there's a lot of there's been history of, you know, players from the Dominican Republic and you know, their antics.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you kind of got to bring somebody in to, you know, make sure that
and the thing
they
with
understand.
Franco is like, and like the Dominicans, they are probably the most passionate baseball fans, them in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
When you watch the World Baseball yes. Classic, those are the two countries that like they are all in on it. And you know,
when you got a team with a history of, you know, great players,
for then, sure, a country of great players.
Yeah,
know,
I just
you go down the list.
Yeah,
and with Franco, you would think, you know, all these rumors of like this is a make or break year for him. Uh-huh. He'd want to have his head on straight, but to see that report, it really disappointed me. But to have Carlos Santana, you know, mentoring him, and they said he's following his every step. Where Santana goes, Franco goes.
Good.
So
good
to have somebody like that, a veteran presence, to come in and really take him under his wing in the first year of Santana being here. I think it can only be positive.
Can only help
for Franco.
Can only help,
and it's going to help him because when you look at this lineup for the Phillies. You have Cesar Hernandez is probably going to be your leadoff hitter, a young veteran who's probably one of the better second basemen all around in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You have Odubel Herrera coming in, probably going to be batting second, and I think he's only going to get better. A lot of people are really high on him this year. He looks great so far during spring training. People are thinking he's going to have, you know, a bounce back year from last year, average wise, home runs wise. He's not a home run hitter, but he can still hit the ball out of the park. And then hitting third is probably going to be Santana. So that'll be the top of your order for any, you know, leading off a game. And then you have Rhys Hoskins, who's your homegrown power hitter, hitting right behind Santana. So pitchers are going to have to pick and choose their spots, who they want to pitch to. Santana's a switch hitter, so that makes it even more difficult for some pitchers. And then you'll probably hit them with Nick Williams in the five hole, and Nick Williams is only going to get better. I'm a huge Nick Williams fan. He's probably our best outfielder. A lot of people are down on him. I think he's going to be great. And then in the sixth spot, you're probably going to flip-flop either Franco or Jorge Alfaro, who's our catcher. Either one of them, I'd be fine hitting in the six hole. They're both power hitters. Alfaro can run a little bit, and he's a catcher, which you don't really see a catcher. He can steal bases, which I think is an awesome,
especially down in the lineup.
Yeah,
like not because normally you see the guys that steal bases are your hitters at the top of
and
the lineup.
And they're usually your speed guys that don't really hit for power. But Alfaro hits for power. He hits for average.
I like that.
He can steal bases.
I like that.
And then you'll have Franco wherever Alfaro doesn't hit, and to have Franco not really have pressure on him hitting in the 3, 4, or 5 hole, I think is going to help him. He won't have that. Oh my God! Like I got to hit the home run.
I gotta be that guy.
I gotta you know, clear these bases so we can get some runs. He'll have a lot of pressure taken off him. He won't hit till like the second or third inning usually.
That's good.
And then you'll finish it off with J.P. Crawford, who's essentially like having another leadoff hitter at the bottom of your lineup. And then you'll just have the pitcher spot in the NL games, and then the DH, whoever you want to throw in there for the AL games. But I think if Franco can really focus this year, get his head back on straight, it'll be like another free agent signing for the Phillies. Franco is a huge key for the Phillies' success this year. Santana's a huge key for the success this year.
Yeah.
Not only on the field, but in the clubhouse. He's that first piece that kind of correlates to this, you know, free agent, let's get out of the rebuild mode, let's get into focusing on winning. And it's similar to when the Phillies brought Jim Thome in.
Yeah.
He's the 2018 Jim Thome, in my opinion, because you're bringing in a guy. You already have Rhys Hoskins at first base. You had Ryan Howard at first base. So you have a guy kind of blocking that position. Luckily, Hoskins can play the outfield a little bit, so you'll throw him in left field. But one, Santana's a name that a lot of people know that'll bring ticket sales in, which is what the Phillies want to do.
Phillies
obviously
need ticket sales.
Yeah. And then it's a guy that's going to bring a veteran, been to the World Series before, won, you know, 100 games before. Let's get this culture turned around. He fits in with the Hispanic culture that the Phillies have built with this core of guys. A lot of them are from, you know, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, all that kind of stuff. So to bring in a veteran guy, an older guy, but is on their level of language, on their level of, you know, understanding how the game should be played, I think it's great that Santana's there. And then you have Gabe Kapler, who, like I said earlier, he's going to be a great manager. I think a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, he's similar to Chip Kelly in ways. And the more I think about it, I understand where they're coming from, because Kapler is huge on, like, the nutrition. You know, he's huge on the workouts for players and everything. But I think he understands his players more than Chip did with the Eagles. He understands what it takes to go out and win, because he was in the front office of a team that was in the World Series just last year. So people who are kind of iffy on the Gabe Kapler train, talk to me. I will open the doors and open the lights of Gabe Kapler for you.
Let's go. Let's
because
get it.
He is going to be the next manager to win a World Series.
Okay.
For the Phillies. I'm saying that right now, February 21st, 2018.
Oh.
Whenever it may be, Gabe Kapler will be a World Series winning manager for the Philadelphia Phillies.
I agree with you. I think, well, I mean, they're probably going to keep him here for a while, especially if, you know, the way he's talking and the culture that he's built around the team already, you know, continues to flourish and show hope. You know, like you said, get away from the rebuild and start winning again. Get back to the Phillies of, you know, about 10 years ago or so. So
it's crazy to think that was already 10 years ago. They're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the 2008 World Series this year.
Whew.
Keep an eye out on that, because we might.
We're gonna have to update that.
We might have a show down at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah,
because that's a historic event that we might.
Oh man, I can't. If we can do that, I'd love to, you know, sit out in some nice weather.
Oh man.
Under a tent.
We'll be at some Phillies games.
Have some people stop by and say what's up. And
we'll be at some Phillies games for some shows.
The only negative thing about, you know, all this positive stuff about the Phillies is that ticket prices will go up.
Ticket prices will go up, and
I won't be able to go and tailgate a game and get a ticket for like $10.
As I look just now, my buddy Noah Papiano shared our post, so shout out to him. But he and I were that close to just saying, hey, let's go get season tickets for the Phillies this year. Because it is so cheap right now that you can afford it, and it's right on that cusp of, hey, they're about to get good. Let's do it now.
Well, if there's any Philadelphia team that you should get season tickets for, I'm going to plug this right now. I'm sorry, this isn't Phillies news.
Go for
it. If you're going to buy season tickets for a Philadelphia team, grab them for the Philadelphia Wings. Go right ahead.
Lax, bro.
Going to be one of the hottest teams in the NLL come next year. So be on the lookout for that. But we're out of Phillies news. We've talked.
What do we got coming up on Saturday, Dom?
Sixers Saturday, of course. And what did you name the one, the Flyers tug?
We got a nice Flyers afternoon skate.
Afternoon skate, yes. I like that. I meant to tell you that.
I think it works.
So we've got Sixers Saturday. I'm going to recap the rest of All-Star Weekend and how I was not pleased with Saturday night and how I was overly pleased with Sunday night. We're going to talk about how Embiid looked, and we are also going to, you know, review the Sixers action coming up to Saturday.
We have some more LeBron news, too. Are
you talking about the Malvern prep news? Or
I heard that, and then today I heard he's in South Jersey in some malls.
Did not know that. I did not see that.
I don't know if it's true or false. I heard LeBron was at the Deptford Mall today.
I have to look that up.
or yesterday it might have been, but is LeBron scoping out the area?
I want to just plug something real quick. I retweeted this, and probably a lot of people saw it on ESPN. I'm going to talk about it again in more in depth on Saturday, but I think it was around 40 to 50 players, anonymous player. They kept them anonymous. It was a players only thing that ESPN did. But they interviewed him and they asked one question. They said, where's the place you want to see LeBron least, or where shouldn't he sign? And the highest percentage, I think around 31% of the players said Philadelphia. Now you can take that one of two ways. Either they don't respect Philadelphia, we're still an underdog, and we still are treated like one, even though we may end up fourth or fifth in the playoff standings.
Possibly third.
But also it seems like maybe they're scared. They don't want him to come to Philly.
Yeah.
That would
pair the best player in the world. Debatably, with
two of the best young talents in the NBA.
Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and the rest of the Sixers. Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to leave that because that's some content that I need to save for Saturday. Also, we're going to talk about the Flyers' success, the goalie problems, but how we've made solutions for them.
We got a goalie,
and yes, we have a goalie. We have another goalie, and how my take on Lyon has changed. You've seen some of that on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter at Oh No It's Dom, I've talked about it there. And just everything else, you know, the playoff picture, yada yada yada, all that good stuff. And also Matt and I are going to probably talk more soccer, make another top bins.
Yo, shout out to everybody for the support on Top Bins.
Yes. Top Bins got a crazy amount of positive.
And it wasn't even live. So
technically it was live, but not too many people knew about that just right away. A lot of people tuned in real quick because, you know, they follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they see I went live. They get that notification.
Right.
They just look at it and exit. But, I mean, after posting it to Facebook and the response it got, it was wonderful.
Yeah, so we might be bringing in some more specialty-type sports. I was talking to some people today, and they're really interested in joining the team. They have some connects with some Olympians.
Oh, wow.
So stay tuned for that. We'll have more Eagles and Phillies talk next week.
Yes.
We'll have Flyers and Sixers on Saturday. We'll have Top Bins on Saturday. And who knows what else. But also, if you missed it at the beginning of the show, remember, March 11th.
Put it in your calendars.
Sunday, March 11th, we will have an exclusive show here on Underground Sports Philadelphia as Vineland native and University of Maine offensive lineman and NFL draft prospect Jameel Denby will be joining the show.
Yes.
You do not want to miss it.
Please.
He will be talking about all of his combine adventures as he got invited to the NFL scouting combine. So we will have three shows that week.
He's one of the players that has been flying under the radar for so long, and a lot of scouts, a lot of people that have been watching him in the Senior Bowl and everything else have said, I don't know why he's not on a lot more teams' radar. So please tune in. You're going to get to know him and really understand, you know, what he could bring to an NFL team.
And I'm looking to get somebody to be calling in as well that will be at the combine to kind of give us some updates on Jameel, people that the Eagles are looking at. I'm going to try and get in contact with him. It's Bleeding Green Nation's John Barchard. He will be at the combine, so I'm going to see if we can, you know, finesse our way to have him either call or give us some information on Jameel and on some Eagles prospects. But stay tuned because we will also have some big announcements, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday as March Madness is right around the corner. So
we've got a lot planned. I'm so
excited.
We
have a big project planned for March Madness, so stay tuned. March 3rd, we'll have our first announcement of what we have planned for March Madness. Dom, I think we've talked enough. We'll let the people go, and we'll see everybody Saturday.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for the continued support.
Cannot stop.
Make sure you guys drop those. The 5-star reviews go a long way.
Shout out to Noah.
You know, 5-star reviews on this page go a long way. We're looking to get on iTunes, so the more that iTunes sees that we have the 5-star reviews, the better.
Yes.
And, you know, leave them on SoundCloud. Tell your friends, tell your family, Underground Sports Philadelphia, we're coming at you.
Got some good good content.
But until Saturday with Dom, Matt, and Dylan, shout out to Tyler and Josh for producing the show.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll see you back here next week for Eagles and for Phillies.
Sam Hinkie died for our sins.
That he did. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on Saturday. Peace.